Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds of Arizona Studios. Today, I'll be reading articles dated April the 15th, 2026. And here are your headlines. PFD discusses turnout times, incidents, and strategic issues during annual report. Fighting wildcat water abuse with fire regulations. And Arizona Utility agrees not to cut off power for non-payment when it's 95 degrees Fahrenheit or above. And here are your details. PFD discusses turnout times, incidents, and strategic issues during annual report by Hava Herzog. The Prescott Fire Department Chief, Holger Duer, emphasized the department's core identity to put community first and exhibit courage and grit during a presentation to City Council on Tuesday, April the 14th. The presentation was Prescott Fire Department's 2025 annual report and department overview, which includes data, achievements, and goals for the future. Duer also provided an update on PFD's 2026 strategic plan, a document used to identify key issues for the department to address. Prescott Police Department, PPD, also provided a presentation on its annual report. Roughly 30 people attended the presentations to council. A separate story about the police presentation appeared in the Wednesday, April 15th Daily Courier. According to PFD's incident data, 77.7% of incidents were rescue and EMS related, 10% public assists, 7.65% fire, 1.97% hazardous materials, 1.24% information and investigation, 0.67% wildland fire, aircraft rescue and firefighting 0.48%, and technical rescue 0.21%. He also highlighted the department's notable achievements last year. We are definitely trying to still push innovative practices, and one of those was about 3 years ago. We proposed to the budget team and the council a new station alert system, Duer said. At that time, stations would be notified in sequence for any event, Duer said. When you talk about a structure fire and your dispatch and say 5 to 7 units, it takes approximately 10 seconds just to get those tones out, Duer said. There's modern technology that can actually do that instantaneously, alerting all of the stations at the same time and also using an automated voice for that component of the dispatching process. The technology is known as the Phoenix G2 Alerting System by Honeywell. Duer said, "This takes away another thing the dispatcher must do with increases in their situational awareness." When we talk about new fire stations, new investments, new technology, the one component of total response time that we have direct control over is how quickly a firefighter responds to the station alert going off, to the time that they're fully dressed on the engine and rolling towards the call, Duer said. Currently, the department has begun to see a reduction of about 4% in that turnaround time. Though it may not seem like a lot, it does make a significant impact, he said. Durr said that they are still doing some fine-tuning and adjustment, but by next year, he said he hopes to see improvements in total response time. Another way PFD optimized its response is through a process called tiered dispatching, meaning that the department now balances the number of units dispatched with actual demonstrated risk. There is a lot of what are called low acuity responses in our system. There might be falls, trips, slips, lift assists, things of that nature, Durr said. Prior to this change, we sent an engine and an ambulance, but we were able to use data and assess the outcomes of those calls and identify which one of those would likely result in an ambulance transport. Durr said in early data, the department has seen an approximate 10% reduction in overall impact and call volume on its fire engines. Durr said, this is a significant change in regard to call volume and having a total impact of response time. The busier we are, the less able we are to respond to subsequent calls, which increases our overall response time, he said. Durr also spoke about the department's accreditations from last year. In April 2025, the department was granted re-accreditation status by the Commission on Fire Accreditation International, an accomplishment few departments achieve, Durr said. Part of the re-accreditation is credited to a collaborative document created with Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority, CAFMA. The agencies worked together to implement a joint risk assessment and standards of cover, the first collaboration of its kind in the nation, PFD stated. PFD collaborates heavily with CAFMA as the agencies operate under a closest unit dispatch agreement. The agreement states that the nearest appropriate unit, regardless of the home agency or jurisdiction, will respond to an incident. Though PFD has five stations in its jurisdiction, the closest unit dispatch agreement extends to 10 CAFMA stations. As for personnel demographics, PFD reported 93 full-time employees, 12 volunteers, and 12 youth cadets for 2025. Durr said all of the department's full-time positions are filled. The staffing in the rest of the divisions has really increased with your support over the last couple of years, Durr said, speaking to council. The biggest change has been in the Emergency Operations Division. 10 additional firefighting positions were added over the last two fiscal years to help us begin staffing for the additional engine company, which is now operating during the day. The department also saw significant changes to the Community Risk Management Division, which has been long overdue, he said. Looking to the department's budget, it is the highest it has been in recent years. In 2024, PFD's operational budget was roughly $16.7 million. In 2023, it was $15.6 million. Our budget overview, $17.9 million in operating, and the reason why I mentioned that is not lost on us. That is a significant amount of taxpayer money, Durr said. The other thing is the capital budget this year is definitely much larger than in years prior, and that is in large part because of Proposition 478 funding. And the station projects that are associated with that. In addition to the new stations, PFD has an active and ongoing vehicle replacement program covering what is called Capital Improvement Plan, or CIP. Duer said that their engines are being replaced approximately every 10 years in addition to other rolling stock to keep maintenance costs low. To finish out his presentation, Duer provided an update to PFD's strategic plan, an evergreen document which Duer said evolves constantly. The strategic plan offers an organizational prioritization, fiscal decision-making, and service evaluation in a logic model. The plan provides a framework to assist the department in achieving its goals. Fighting Wildcat Water Abuse with Fire Regulations by Jillian Andrews. Water concerns are often raised when locals and their elected officials try to stop sprawling new housing developments in Arizona. Wildcat developments, in particular, captured public attention in 2023 when the city of Scottsdale cut off water to the unincorporated community of Rio Verde Foothills, where some homes had been built without water guarantees. But Yavapai County Board Chair Brooks Compton has been working on another strategy. It's not the water. Fire protection is how you curb growth, Compton told the Daily Courier. You've got to think about insurance rates. Compton updated the board on how the county has curbed wildcat subdivisions in their regular meeting on Wednesday, April the 15th. Vice Chair Nikki Check takes county concerns on the issue to the State Supervisors Association the next day, hoping to escalate those concerns to state government. Wildcats try to get around laws and planning processes that usually apply when developers want to build subdivisions. Legally, owners are allowed to divide land in unincorporated county areas into five pieces. But wildcat developers are looking to divide land into many smaller residential lots. They may do this by selling off smaller parcels, using shell corporations, working with other owners of nearby land, or failing to file required reports. By not registering a subdivision, wildcat developments avoid state requirements to prove their plans have enough water to supply residents for 100 years. But water is not the only problem. There's a lot of unintended consequences from lot splits and wildcat subdivisions, said Check. Are they covered by a fire district? Who's going to maintain the roads? If a flood comes through, how will water run through the area? How is traffic going to run through it? Home buyers often don't know the answers to these questions, Compton said, because Arizona does not have a strong consumer protection law. Because property owners have the right to subdivide their property by state law, down to 2-acre lots by county ordinance, stopping these developments is a challenge. Compton has led the board in fighting back when developers bring plans for subdivisions without enough emergency fire exit roads, hydrants, or coverage from fire departments. Broader public comment and formal agreements do not split lots. Formal agreements not to split lots are also tools that the board has used to keep developments in check. When Stringfield Ranch at Granite Mountain was proposed, it was just far enough away from Prescott that the town's fire department could not weigh in on the proposal, Compton said, even though they would likely be called in to assist in the event of a fire. Prescott Fire wanted the development's roads to be 26 feet wide, while CAFMA only required 24. Road width shapes how much damage fires do. Wider roads can stop fires' progress. Road width also factors in how fast residents can get out of a fire's path and how fast firefighters can get to the blaze. Learning from experience, Compton pushed for the county to seek neighbors' comments from a wider radius, 3 miles. In 2023, Western Land and Ranches proposed hundreds of new homes near Kirkland Junction in the Rancho Santa Ynez Ranch Project. Citizens collected 760 signatures against the project, unchanged.org, but the County Planning and Zoning Board's vote was split on approving it. When neighbors in a wider 3-mile radius were allowed to comment on the subdivision, Peoples Valley Fire Department was also allowed to weigh in, and its fire chief did not think that the proposal did enough to protect residents. The county sent the developers back to the drawing board, requiring them to come up with an adequate fire safety plan. The county board is ultimately responsible for fire codes, not the Central Arizona Fire and Medical Authority. If we say you don't have appropriate fire protection, it doesn't get built, Compton said. County fire regulations have another kind of leverage against developments, too. Insurance companies see it as another red mark against homeowners on their policies if their homes don't follow county codes, Compton said. With Arizona fire insurance rates going through the roof and some residents even being denied coverage as climate change contributes to a rise in wildfires, developers need to factor that in. Insurance companies are paying attention to what we're doing, Compton said. Arizona Utility agrees not to cut off power for non-payment when it's 95 degrees Fahrenheit or above. Phoenix. Arizona's largest utility has agreed not to cut off electrical service to customers for non-payment while forecasted high temperatures are 95 degrees Fahrenheit or above as part of a $7 million settlement of a lawsuit prompted in part by the 2024 death of an 82-year-old woman whose power was disconnected, Attorney General Chris Mays said Wednesday. The state's settlement with the Arizona Public Service, which previously prohibited shutoffs because of non-payment between June 1st and October 15th, also called for the utility to pay $2.7 million that will be deposited into a state consumer protection fund and another $3.4 million to improve a program that lets customers designate family members or friends as emergency contacts who can receive notices in a bid to help prevent shutoffs, including sending text messages to inform customers of delinquent bills and disconnection notices. May's office said that the lawsuit grew out of concerns about disconnection practices during extreme heat, including the death of Catherine Corman at her Sun City West home. Her service was cut off in mid-May 2024 because of non-payment on a day when the daily temperature in the area reached about 99 degrees. She was found dead 6 days after her power was disconnected. APS said it made 10 attempts to contact Corman by phone, email, door hanger, and monthly bills to let her know the status of her bill and offer help. The utility said regulators who examined the case determined APS had followed the rules on customer outreach and disconnection. No Arizonan should be at risk because they cannot afford their electric bill, Mays said in a statement. This settlement ensures that APS will no longer disconnect power based on the date on the calendar alone. If temperatures are dangerous, the power stays on. You're listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. If you miss a program, you can get it on demand. From our website, choose Broadcast Info and Audio, and then On Demand. And next, we'll turn to the features page of the Prescott Daily Courier, starting with To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 57-year-old and love Pepsi, Coke, and unsweetened iced tea for the caffeine, which greatly improves my mood and gives me more energy. Unfortunately, I am a borderline diabetic and get horrible kidney stones. I need a caffeine replacement source. Drinking more water does not do the trick. I gag trying to drink coffee. I have no interest in gas station energy drinks or shots. Chocolate has too much sugar. Anything with sucralose or artificial sweetener leaves a terrible aftertaste. I've gone months without caffeine and I feel run down. Are there any natural supplements or foods that might help me? The difference of being with and without caffeine is very noticeable for me. Answer. I'm guessing you have calcium oxalate stones, the most common type, and that you have been warned because tea has oxalate in it. However, there are two competing factors in tea. One is the fluid, which is very good for people who want to avoid stones, while the other is oxalate, which you don't want. It turns out that drinking tea reduces the overall risk of kidney stones. However, the stronger the tea, the more oxalate. So you want to drink tea that hasn't been steeped for too long. Furthermore, green tea has less oxalate than oolong or black. So this would be a preferred choice for you. Of course, I recommend diabetic or pre-diabetic. There are other options. It's not hard to find caffeinated water now. And there are also caffeine tablets for people who really need it. The amount of caffeine in tea is much less than in coffee, on the order of 30 to 50 milligrams per cup of green tea and 40 to 70 milligrams in black tea, compared to 100 milligrams in coffee on average. Specialty coffees can be much higher when brewed. Caffeine tablets are typically 100 to 200 milligrams and might be a lot more than you need or want. And we have a couple minutes left for worship news. The Trinity Lutheran Church, 3950 North Valerie Drive, Prescott Valley, 928-772-8845, Sunday service times, 8 a.m., traditional Sunday service, 9:30 a.m., adult Bible study, 9:30 a.m., Sunday school, 11 a.m., worship service. Please join us. Everyone is welcome. Chino Valley United Methodist Church, 735 East Road 1 South, 928-636-2969. All are welcome to Chino Valley United Methodist Church. Worship at 10 a.m. for the third Sunday of Easter, April the 19th, with full communion. Be inspired by Pastor Kevin Lester's message, Astounded Us, based on Luke 24. Live streamed on Facebook, CVUMC2, and YouTube, and www.chinovalleyumc.org. Prescott Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, 945 Rancho Vista Drive, 11 a.m. Teaching to a Captive Audience. Reflections from a Prison Educator. Lois Colton will read from her essays and invite a conversation about her experiences as a prison educator teaching adult male maximum security inmates. Music by Adrian Bridgewater. You've been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming up next from Sun Sounds of Arizona.